sorry for that absolutely terrible pun there, because women's hockey was in misery this weekend, or last weekend, in Lindenwood.
Yeah, and it was...
It was a decent weekend. We mentioned a week ago about how Lindenwood was possibly, like we previewed the CHA teams, and we were... We had Lindenwood at the bottom of the pack, and we're like, all right, they're not even going to probably make it past the first round of the CHA playoffs, but second game, man. 4-3 overtime win, down 3-0, had to come back in that one. Still got the win, though. Interesting weekend. We both weren't there, obviously.
No. I mean, I would have liked to go to Missouri, but it's also Missouri.
Yeah.
I watched the highlights on the Colonials posted game two.
Mm-hmm.
There were maybe 10 people in the stands.
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
There was nobody.
Another sweep this weekend against another CHA opponent, RMU.
It was a first. Bit closer in that second game than it probably should have been, but first one, 2-1, 2-0 win. Lexi Templeman and Joelle Fiala, her first career goal.
Yep, she was honored Rookie of the Week, right?
Yep, Rookie of the Week.
CHA Rookie of the Week due to that goal. I'm assuming, or obviously some other work she put in, not just that goal. She's been great all year, her and other freshmen like Maggie Burbage, Mara Wagner. So
yeah,
it's good to see them get on the board.
They've been solid.
Another sweep this weekend, as we mentioned, RMU currently first in the CHA yet again with 4 wins overall, 8 points. So that's big to start off the year.
Still tied with Mercyhurst.
Okay, so we are tied. Yeah,
still tied.
The 2-0 win, as you mentioned, Templeman Fiala got the goals. Reagan Kirk started yet again, 17 saves. So just a solid game from the Colonials, kind of what we expected. We didn't expect a blowout or anything, but we shut them out and got the win. Second game, though.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
They were down 3-0 in the second to Lindenwood.
Yeah. In the second.
Yeah.
Reagan Kirk got the start. Goals for Lindenwood were scored by Sierra Burt, Madison Stid, and Lillian Marchant. But RMU's defense, and that'll be the main focus that I want to talk about today, is just the offense from the defense. Emily Curlett with overtime winner, Emily Harley with 2 goals in this one, and Grayson Rice with an assist to J.C. Gephardt.
And J.C. Gephardt added a goal. What do you? 2 assists for Joelle Fiala as well. So
yeah, again, another solid game for her. So props to her for another solid week, and they were honored, as you mentioned, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But as for this game, are you a little bit worried about like the turnaround of this game? I mean, we still got the win, but still.
I mean, they battled back, which I liked.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you see teams go down 3-0 and they just roll over.
Yeah.
But this team battled back, defensemen getting goals. It doesn't really worry me that much.
Yeah.
I know Lyndon, because you're, up to this point, they played what, like 4 straight weeks? Something like that.
RMU?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They played a lot of straight, so I think they have a week break after this, so I think that's going to be good for them going into this next game against RPI, which we'll preview a bit later.
Yeah. I'm not that necessarily worried at all about just the outcome of this game. I mean, we still got the win, and Lindenwood is actually a team that, I mean, we mentioned that they're bottom of the pack in the CHA, but as you mentioned last year, they split with us.
Yeah, and they might be bottom of the pack.
They can definitely compete with top teams.
Mm-hmm. They might be bottom of the pack, but they're still D1.
They're still Division 1.
If this was a D2 team,
NCAA hockey.
If this was a D2 team or D3, then we might be worried. But this is still a good team.
And to show, like, I mean, we still got the win, and that's the most important part here, is that we got the 2 points out of this one. And just the way we came back was also phenomenal, considering it wasn't really the big names, I guess you will. I mean, Gebhardt did have a goal, but still the defense is scoring goals. Emily Harley has 2 goals in this game. That's insane, considering that she's playing on the back end this year. And then, of course, another goal by Emily Curlett, which we'll talk about later. She's just been phenomenal this year. 8 goals.
Yeah.
That's, like, what, 3rd on the team? Something like that?
8 goals is tied for 2nd.
With Gebhardt?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Boyle has
9.
9. That's crazy.
Yeah.
She's a defenseman.
And then just to go over, there were some line changes.
Yeah.
Allie Rogers and Mackenzie Krasowski switch.
Mm-hmm.
You have Courtney Coleman and Angelica Diffendahl switching as well. Lee Marino is now with Sarah LeCavalier. Emily Harley is now with Jillian Thompson. And then Allison Hebert is back as the extra. And then just the stats. The first line is still carrying this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say carrying, but definitely a big part of the of the team.
Boyle, 9-3 for 12 points. Gebhardt, 8-18, 26. Templeman, 2-15, 17. And that second line now is Krasowski, 3 goals, 0 assists. Marcuzzi, only 1 point is a goal.
Yeah.
But that was a game tie or game winning goal, right?
I believe so.
Last week it was a big one.
Yeah.
And then Diffendahl, 1 goal, 1 assist. And then Ali Rogers.
Yeah, yet to score.
Yet to score. Joel Fiala has been exceptional. Yep. For a freshman, 1 goal, 4 assists. Courtney Coleman, 1 goal, 2 assists. And then that fourth line, not bad. Mara Wagner, 1-1 and 2. Maggie Burbage, 1-2-3. And then Janie Sandoval, 0 points. And then defensively as well, that's really showing
up. It's definitely changed in terms of pairings here. And we've said multiple times here, is that these lines aren't 1-2-3-4 really. They're kind of, with RMU, especially on offense, it's 1-2-A, 2-B, 2-C, really.
And in defense,
it's like 1-A, 1-B, 1-B, 1-C, considering Emily Curlett is on the third pairing on paper, but there's no way she's a third pairing defenseman on any team.
No.
It's more of just the division up of talent and getting as much talent as you can per line and per shift, because considering you have Harley LeCavalier and Curlett all on separate pairings and none of them are paired together, that's like what you'll mention here, that Harley, 3 goals, 6 assists, 9 points.
That's solid. I mean, yeah. She was a forward last year, but she kept that scoring touch. And then next year as well, Jillian Thompson, 5 mm-hmm. assists.
Yep.
Leah Marino, 1 goal.
She hasn't played much, but still she's got that goal, which is nice.
Yeah. Sarah LeCavalier, 5 assists.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many times will we have to say Emily Curlett is amazing?
8 goals, 8 assists, 16 points. Incredible.
Yeah, and then Wason Rice, 1 assist. And then Allison Hebert was the extra defenseman, 1 assist.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 3 players on this team without any points.
Yeah.
That's Anna Fairman, who's a healthy scratch, Janie Sandoval, and Allie Rogers.
Yeah.
Which I know we were talking earlier in the year about the lack of depth, per se.
But, yeah, the need for depth, yeah.
I think we found
especially against tougher opponents. That's what I was trying to
mm-hmm.
pitch there, is just, like, if we're going to try and compete with Michigan and Minnesota and all the tough teams like Clarkson, we need depth scoring. And, like, not to call anyone out or anything, but, like, some of these players on the second and third lines that are upperclassmen have
no points or some, very few.
Have fewer points than, obviously, like, J.C. Gebhardt. And we're not asking everyone to be a J.C. Gebhardt, but
that would be helpful.
Yeah, but if the team is gonna push for the NCAA tournament, they're going to need depth, and I think everyone on the team knows it, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. We weren't at the game, so we don't know what Coach Paul said, but it'd be interesting to get his thoughts after that second game.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would definitely like to hear about that. But got a bye week this week, so we'll be seeing him for a little bit.
Yeah, and then in net, Reagan Kirk, 2.53 saves or goals against, 9.11 save percentage.
She started 4 straight now.
I believe so. Yeah, because she started both Penn State games.
I don't know if what was the series before that. Clarkson? Was it
before Penn State? I think it was Clarkson.
I believe DeSmet got that start.
Yeah, DeSmet got the start against Clarkson. It was Penn State, Cornell. And
that was away, right?
Yeah, that was away, and I believe that was Reagan Kirk, at least in one of those
games. Well, she's been starting a lot more games, and it's good that Colantino's trusting both of his goaltenders more and more. Kirk is a phenomenal goaltending
option.
Yeah, option.
Not saying
recruit that we were able to pick up there.
It's not saying DeSmet's been terrible.
Oh, no, she's been phenomenal as well.
297, 899, but those have been inflated because she did have a couple.
She played most of the big games against top 5 opponents.
Yeah, so that's a bit tough to say. And then healthy scratch, obviously, Molly Singewald and Anna Fairman.
They both have played this year, though. Anna Fairman got in the other game. It was home.
I think
Penn State.
Yeah, Penn State she was in.
And then Molly Singewald played, I believe, against Cornell or something like that. She got a couple minutes there.
Yeah, she came in relief in one of those games.
Yeah. So overall, again, this team, I like the new lines, which knowing Colantino probably won't be the new ones come next weekend.
I'd like to – who's one player you'd like to see up more?
Up more in the lineup?
Yeah.
I really – I don't know if I want to go full out freshman third line, but I would like to see Maggie Burbidge back playing wing with Joel Fiala.
See, I'd almost put
– Or Mara Wagner.
I'd almost put Fiala up a line. Possibly. Replace her with Marcuzzi.
I don't know if she's able to log that much minutes. And I don't know if Marcuzzi would want like to be demoted like
well,
that.
Well, I mean, it's not really a demotion if it's one May, one
– Rolling lines,
yeah,
stuff
but
like that.
I think Fiala, because she was with – I mean, that's basically just switching the second and third line because Coleman and Rogers were – but I wouldn't mind seeing, like a Fiala and Burbidge together or something like that. But
just go all out. Put all freshman line, Burbidge, Wagner, Fiala.
I know he won't do it, but it'd be interesting to see how Fiala did next to Gebhard.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Like if you had a
– Maybe on a – I wouldn't even say – like I don't even know how that could possibly happen. I mean, not even power play or penalty kill.
If you put like – Imagine this for a power play. You have Gebhard at center, Boyle on the wing, and then Fiala on the other wing.
Yeah.
Templeman on defense, and then next to Curlett.
That'd take Le Cavalier. I don't know if he...
Well, Le Cavalier can go second pairing Harley. I don't know.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
And
I don't know.
They do have some awards.
Awards for the week.
Emily Harley, player of the week, 2 goals, 1 assist. And Joelle Fiala, Rookie of the Week with 1 goal, 2 assists, her first collegiate goal. Goalie of the Week was actually Lyndon Woods' goalie. I forget her.
Okay.
It was
Rightfully so, though. What's her face? Yeah.
Annika Asplund with an H at the end, which makes absolutely no sense, but. She had 28 saves in the first game, allowed a empty net goal, so didn't really allow it. But
okay, so who? Oh, so there was an empty net, so it was a 1-0 game.
Yeah.
Who got the empty netter?
It was Fiala.
Was it Fiala? Yeah. Oh, that's kind of bittersweet there, getting your first ever collegiate goal on an empty netter or a first goal in any sort of way.
Yeah.
She'll have more down the road though.
Also, in that second game, she saved 49 shots.
That's solid total there.
And also, I just noticed this in the second game as well. Reagan Kirklett in 3, then DeSmet came in.
She did come in.
Yeah.
DeSmet came in. Okay.
Yep. About halfway through, DeSmet played 34 minutes, Kirk 27.
Yeah, that is something that we have to keep our eye on just overall. Mm-hmm. Is goaltending. Kirk has had some bad starts, and she'll admit that herself, but I forget which game it was. I think it was the Penn State game. It was the first Penn State game. She let in 2 goals in the first period. One of them was a bad because it was 2-1 after the first period.
Yes, you were there.
Yeah. Colantino didn't pull her though. She came in and got the win though. But yeah, definitely interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. Standings wise, Robert Morris and Mercyhurst tied at first, both 4-0, 8 points. Then you have Syracuse at 2 points, 1-1. RIT with 2 points. They're 1-4.
Okay.
Penn State, 0 points. They're 0-2. Both losses coming to Robert Morris.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lindenwood is 0 points, 0-4. 2 coming against Robert Morris and 2 coming against Mercyhurst.
Okay, I may sound like I'm uneducated here on the standings and how they work, but so overtime points do not get you – overtime does not get you a point?
No, not in CHA.
Not in CHA. Okay, so Lindenwood, 0 points.
Yeah, I think it works like that in like men's maybe.
Possibly,
but
I don't think I have to keep track of all of my Robert Morris sports.
Yeah, there's too many different point totals.
Yeah,
but there is some national recognition.
Yep.
Colonials receiving 6 top 10 votes, BU 12 above them, and then number 10 University of Minnesota Duluth with 23.
So we're continuing to, I wouldn't necessarily say fall out of the rankings, but also we kind of are falling out of the rankings, but also we're not a bad team.
We're not really playing anybody now.
Exactly.
Now that we're going into
to get recognition.
Yeah.
No one's going to go to Missouri and see, like you mentioned, there was like 10 people in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of them were USCHO ranking
and
scouts
or
whatever.
It's not really fair. I'm not fair, but when, you know, Minnesota Duluth is hanging with the Minnesotas every week, that's not really as easy to say if they're a better team than us absolutely thrashing Lindenwood.
Yeah. And it'll probably be another week with the Colonials like this, considering we're on a bye week. I don't think we're going to necessarily improve. considering we're not playing hockey this week.
Unless there's a loss.
Yeah, but that's a big loss. It has to be something like that, yeah.
And Gebhard is actually second in the nation in scoring.
That's crazy.
Darryl Watts from Wisco, or Wisconsin. I don't know why I keep saying Wisco.
That's fine.
It's fun to say. Gebhard, 8-18-26. Darryl Watts, 10-19-29.
We'll mention the elephant in the room now. J.C. Gebhard, 3 points away from passing Brittany Howard. All-time RMU women's hockey.
And we're, ten games into the season?
Yeah, we're like on our fifth series of the season. She will make it happen next weekend against RPI. No doubt. And we will definitely be covering that.
It's unfortunately away from home, so we can't get the...
Well, she's not going to score then because she wants to do it at home.
She's going to ask Paul to... Well, they're away the next 2 weeks.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, RPI and then St. Lawrence.
Okay. She's going to get it.
She's going to ask Paul to scratch her the next...
Scratch her, yeah. Put her in net.
She'd manage to get 3 points in net, let's be honest.
Possibly.
But Lexi Templeman is tied for 12, 2, 15, 17.
In points. Tied for 12 in points, yes.
Third in assists.
Which is solid. Yeah. Which we've mentioned, Lexi Templeman went from really a top goal scorer on this team to a puck giver now. She's more of a...
I don't really know how it happened, but it did.
We'll take it.
And then Emily Curlett, you mentioned the scoring from defense.
Crazy.
It's top scoring defender, 16 points, and also tied for 16th.
Top scoring defender in the NCAA.
Yes.
16th points overall just for players. That's crazy. 6 most goals on the team. And the most power play goals out of any defenseman in the NCAA.
She's been lights out.
Yeah. Overall statistics for RMU, 28.8 on the power play, which is fourth best in the NCAA. Also phenomenal. We'll talk about how great the power play is a little bit later.
Yeah, but that penalty kill is, that needs to be fixed.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, you're in the bottom half, technically. I know.
83.1% penalty kill, which is 22nd out of 41 teams in the NCAA. Nothing too terrible, but we've had a couple shorthanded goals, most notably the Gebhard.
5-on-3.
Overtime forcer. But that was a 5-on-3 goal.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. It's I don't think it's hard to judge this team, but it is in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. It's you look at it on paper and you're like, oh, this team is phenomenal, but then you look a little bit closer and you're like, more worries start to come.
Yeah, I mean, they're top heavy.
Exactly.
But and their penalty kill
is heavy. They're like their defensemen. They rely on them a lot for offense.
It's offensive defensemen, but their defense is still good, which is kind of concerning as to why they have the 22nd best.
Yeah.
Penalty kill.
Yeah.
I mean, but this team, it's not going to be a defensive struggle with Robert Morris. It's going to be an offensive threat. 6 most goals to the team. 3 players in the top 20 for scoring.
Mm-hmm. Boyle, the other one.
Boyle,
the first line. Boyle got fired.
Yep.
Or is in the top 20?
Yeah. I think.
So Curlett is there as well?
Well, Curlett's tied for 16th among all players. Templeman tied 12th. I don't think Boyle's in the top because she only has 12.
12 points?
Yeah.
She might be in the top for in terms of goals.
I think she's like 11th.
She's got 9 goals so far in the year.
Yeah.
I want to look overall just with this week being a bye for the Colonials. I just want to quickly recap the season overall because I'm getting lost already with what's happened so far against these teams. So we had the Union series and then there was the bye.
Yeah.
So we're just going to go bye to bye here. Minnesota, Clarkson, Cornell, all top 5 teams at the time.
Yeah, well, right now, Minnesota's 1, Clarkson's 5, and Cornell's 3.
Those games were all played at home except for the Cornell game, which is in New York. The Minnesota game, both Minnesota games, we really did battle with Minnesota, except for the third period in the second game really slipped, and it came out of a 2-6 loss, a 3-4 loss in the first game, but overall a positive series there.
All and that the 3-4 game was overtime.
Yes.
And then overtime, both games against Clarkson were.
Yes. Overtime, well, overtime against Clarkson, did nothing happen in overtime considering, goals were scored. 3-3 tie. This one was home as well. And then the J.C. Gebhardt heroics that forced overtime against Clarkson.
And ultimately went up short.
Yeah.
Losing 6-5 in that. 6-5. And then they went to Ithaca where they got curb stomped.
Yeah. 6-0. 3-0. First shutout since like late 2000s. It wasn't like 2008 or something.
I think so. Something like that.
Definitely a rough weekend for the Colonials, and then they rebounded in the most recent series we've had against Penn State, or the second, the most recent home series we've
and
had.
And that was a bye. So it was a bye, and then we went to CHA games 5-2, 5-0 against Penn State, and then 2-0, 4-3 against Lindenwood.
Yes. So the Colonials overall, it's been a tale of two seasons so far. The tough conference opponents and then the CHA opponents.
I mean, I think that's what we expected from them.
Yeah.
We expected them to play these tough teams tough, but then absolutely breeze through the CHA.
Yeah. And now we have another type of opponent, if you will. We have the tough non-conference opponents, we have the CHA opponents, and then we have just the normal non-conference opponents, if you will. RPI this weekend in Troy, New York.
Yeah, that's up near Albany, in case you wondered where it wasn't close. RPI is not a good team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we were saying Lindenwood's not a good team. I think RPI might be even worse. The Engineers are currently 0-10-1. Mm-hmm. Their leading scorers have 4 points.
Okay.
Blake Oroz and Sabrina Rapaci. Oroz, 3 goals, 1 assist. Rapaci.
What division are they in?
ECAC. So they're with, like, Brown, Clarkson, Cornell.
Okay.
Their problem is scoring goals because in net, Anna Nystrom, 271 goals against, 936 save percentage is not it's not bad.
Yeah, considering your team's 0-10. Yeah,
we've seen it happen with the CHA because a lot of those goalies had good save percentage but terrible goals against.
Yeah.
So a lot of these teams are letting up a lot of shots, not getting many goals. What are your predictions for this series?
Well, by the looks of it, it might be another Lindenwood situation where I say on the podcast, oh, we're going to absolutely destroy them just looking at their record and who their goal scorers are. But I don't know. You mentioned Anna Nystrom. She's got the 936 save percentage. It might be another situation against Lindenwood where their goaltender stands on their head and makes the Colonials possibly have a tougher battle than they may have liked to, yeah. I'm obviously hoping for a win here. I think it'll be a sweep again, but it might come from a little tough battle here for the Colonials.
I think they do get the win because I just don't think that they might allow 2 goals all weekend.
Yeah.
Because I don't really see anybody on this RPI team.
That's the other thing, though. Our defense, like as you mentioned, has been incredible so far, and no matter who gets to start in this weekend, we'll probably
Even put Molly Single. Nothing against Molly Singlewald.
You could possibly put her in here.
But yeah, I see nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, definitely. We'll look forward to that.
And then, going back on something earlier in the document.
Yeah, I want to talk about the main thing that I wanted to discuss this week. Offense from the defense overall, and just RMU, not just this year, just in Colonial history these past couple of years. We are sophomores, so we've only been able to see 2 years of Colonials hockey.
But we've seen some
incredible players.
Yes.
Which is crazy. And the three names that we're going to go over today, which I think you can all possibly think of off the top of your head here, are Maggie LeGue, Kirsten Welsh,
And of course, Emily Curlett.
As we mentioned, we're sophomores. They were seniors last year, being LeGue and Welsh. We were able to see them play. Emily Curlett's a junior this year, so we'll get another year out of her. Just being able to watch her play
is insane.
That's the first thing I noticed covering this team in women's hockey, is that they are just so reliant on their defense for offense. And it's not a bad thing in any way. Like, look at the Nashville Predators. They're a phenomenal team. They have some amazing defensemen there. Or the San Jose Sharks, like with Burns and
Vlasic
and Carlson.
Yeah, but
But yeah, it's really insane that these players all got to play on the same team last year. And also, like, we're not even mentioning, like, Sarah LeCavalier and this year's
Emily Harley. Yeah, we're not.
We're really looking at, I dug through the statistics overall and just RMU history of how important defense or offense from the defense has been.
Yeah, because especially this is over the really past few years. And the good thing about this is looking into the future.
Yeah.
These players, they'll help the recruiting class. Because if you can say to a defensive prospect, look who we had come through our system.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to want them to come here. Maggie LeGue was drafted by Connecticut. Kirsten Welsh somehow is in the NHL referee program, even though it seemed like she took a penalty every game.
She took 236 penalty minutes, which we'll review statistics in a little bit. And, of course, Emily Curlett, still on RMU. I guarantee I'm already looking forward to, like, next season's captains. It's going to be Templeman, Curlett, someone else. I could see Curlett getting a C next year.
I could see it, too, partly because
she's a leader in the locker room from what I've heard.
And did you see what they did for the Cs this year? They sent out a tweet where every person that had the letter in their name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, had it. So they might put Curlett simply because she has the C in her name.
I don't know. So overall statistics, we're going to review. I'll put this in the description so you can follow along here. The graphic of just the table of comparing statistics. Emily Curlett, 2017 to now. 87 games played, but she has 35 goals. That's the most in RMU defensive history.
Yes.
33 assists, 68 points. She's a plus 26. That'll obviously change before she hangs up the skates from RMU history.
And plus minus isn't really the best stat.
Yeah, I just put them in here because they're positive stats. Mm-hmm. Like, I really look at plus minus and just, like, any hockey statistic as if it's really bad, that's concerning. If it's really good, it's
good.
Good. Yeah. But, like, if you're a minus 10 and your team was struggling, that's nothing terrible.
No. 23
power play goals. Possibly the most crazy statistic on here.
Yes.
I mean, 23 power play goals?
That's more goals than...
Than Maggie LeGue had in her entire career. Which, no disrespect to her, she was more of a puck-moving defender.
But 23.
23 goals out of her 35 goals.
Yeah.
Do the math there.
How many does she have this year? Isn't it like five?
She has six power play goals, something like that. Six or seven.
And she has 8 goals this year.
Yeah, it's like all of her goals have come in on the power play. It's crazy. She also has a shorthanded goal, which is nice. 6 game-winning goals.
Including one against Lindenwood.
And then, if you know anything about Emily Curlett, though, she likes to shoot the puck. She has a deadly shot, possibly the best shot on the team. 332 shots on goal. That probably has changed already somehow because she shot a puck to... RPI, and it went on net.
It went in.
Yeah, it went in.
Yeah, and she's shooting at a 10%, so not bad.
Yeah.
So out of every 10 shots she takes.
She's, who am I thinking of from Mighty Ducks?
Oh.
The Bash brother.
Oh, which, Fulton Reed?
Fulton Reed, yeah. She's Fulton Reed. She's just, she's got the 1 for 5.
And that's shots on goal.
Yeah.
That's not including block shots.
That's another statistic that I wasn't able to find is block shots. She's phenomenal at blocking shots herself. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy player, and absolutely a blessing to have her on the team. Maggie LeGue, 2015 to 2019. Kirsten Welsh as well, 2015 to 2019. LeGue, 135 games played. She was on some good teams that made it far. She was able to play a lot of games and stay healthy.
Yeah,
which is possibly
as
good a statistic.
Healthy. I don't really think – I can't really remember a game last year she missed.
No. We'll talk about later. I do remember Kirsten Welsh missing some games. Other than that, I think LeGue was in the lineup every single night. Yeah.
Only 12 goals. But
12 goals, but as we mentioned, yeah. Puck moving
78. Assists.
78 assists. That's the most out of these three names. Crazy statistic. 90 points overall, plus 36. 5 power play goals. Nothing compared to Emily Curlett's 23. But
shorthanded goal.
Yep, got a shorthanded goal. 3 game-winning goals. Nothing crazy compared to Curlett, but still, that is phenomenal.
Those 78 assists.
90 points? That's crazy. That's the most points out of these three players. She's played 135 games played, which is a statistic there. You think all you got to do is tie the laces and go out on the ice. No, she is blocking big minutes.
Yes.
She was essentially our number one defenseman last year.
There's a reason she was drafted.
Exactly. Yeah. Kirsten Welsh, 2015 to 2019, 122 games played. She had a leg injury, I believe, last year.
Yeah.
I believe it was leg. I know she was hurt. 33 goals, which is phenomenal. Two less of Curlett. Curlett's already passed her. 55 assists, 88 points.
I'd almost say Kirsten Welsh. I know you can't – it's like comparing apples to oranges kind of because they're just three different types. But Kirsten Welsh was probably the most well-rounded out of these
possibly,
three.
Possibly, yeah.
Because Curlett's the goal scorer. Mm-hmm. Legueux was the assist maker. But mm-hmm. Welsh, as of right now – I mean, Curlett's goals and assists are closer, but I just think over her –
yeah, Curlett's got 35 goals, 33 assists. Kirsten Welsh has 35 goals. 55 assists.
I just think Welsh was the more well-rounded defenseman, like overall defender.
88 points overall. She was a plus 24. 17 power play goals, which is another crazy statistic. Two shorthanded goals, five game-winning goals, but possibly the most infamous thing that she's known for
is taking
236 penalty minutes. And it's funny because
in 122 games.
Yeah,
I mean, 122. That's about one a game.
Oh, yeah, one or two a game. Crazy. And it's funny because she's a ref now. It's funny. So overall, in just top 10 RMU history, Curlett, 0.78 points per game, which is eighth in RMU history, 35 goals. 35 goals is ninth in RMU history. She's a defenseman.
Yeah.
0.40 goals per game, fifth in RMU history. Goals per game, she's a defenseman.
I think is she a defenseman?
I think so. Six game-winning goals, ninth in NHL. RMU history.
She's a defenseman.
Yeah. This one's interesting here, and this one isn't as big as a milestone as passing Brittany Howard for overall in points with Gebhard. Her and JC Gebhard are tied with 23 power play goals. Thea Imbrogno has 25 power play goals. That'll be passed this year. Possibly by both of them.
Possibly
by both of them.
Possibly against RPI.
Yeah. And one, yeah, possibly. If we get four power play goals, two come from Gebhard, two come from Curlett. So, yeah, it's one of those rivalries where it kind of reminds me of, like, Malkin and Crosby fighting mm-hmm. over, like, just overall franchise points with those two going back and forth with 23 power play goals. They're both tied right there now. Curlett is 10th in RMU history on shots on goal.
That's going to go up.
332. That'll definitely go up.
But this next stat, 3.82 shots per game.
That's a lot of shots per game. That's shots on goal.
Yeah.
Oh, she shoots the puck like 15 point something probably.
Yeah, I wish they measured stats.
Shot attempted per game or something like that. Her plus 26 rating is 7th in RMU history. So overall, a player that was just absolutely phenomenal to have on the team. And what else can we say about her? She's a phenomenal player. Kirsten Welsh, 88 points is 9th in RMU history, 33 goals is 10th in RMU history. Her 17th power play goals is tied for 6th in RMU history. That's already been passed by Emily Collette.
It was probably passed by her last year.
Yeah. Two shorthanded goals, that's 6th in RMU history. 55 assists is 8th in RMU history. 0.45 assists per game, 9th in RMU history. 339 shots, 8th in RMU history. 10th is Collette. 2.78 shots per game, 9th in RMU history, plus 24, 8th in RMU history, and she's first in we mentioned here 9th, 10th, 6th, solid, she's in the top 10, but she's first in something,
and it's 107
penalties. She's first in two categories: 107 penalties, 236 penalty minutes. Those are both first in RMU history.
Did we ever ask her about that?
I don't think that's going to be passed anytime soon.
Did we ever ask her about?
How many penalties she takes? I wouldn't. I don't think I would ask that per game.
I don't want to be body checked.
Yeah. So you're taking a lot of penalties. When's that going to stop?
Never. I'm going to be a ref now.
Yeah. I'm going to be a ref. I'm going to call the penalties on myself because I don't know. Funny. Maggie Legueux, 90 points, which is 8th in RMU history. That's the most out of all three of these defenders as of right now. 78 assists, the most out of all these defenders right now. Third in RMU history. Third.
For defenseman assists.
Which is crazy. Plus 36 is 5th in RMU history, and 0.48 assists per game, 4th in RMU history. So really, the thing that this just boggles down, that these are a bunch of statistics. Yeah, statistics are fun, but...
These are
phenomenal.
If I asked you, Well, hey, what position do you think is third in RMU history for assists?
Yeah.
You wouldn't say defenseman.
Center?
Nope. No. Defenseman.
No. Also, goals, just overall. Ninth in RMU history. 35 with Corlett. It's crazy. And it's crazy to think that all three of these players were on the same team at one point. And it's crazy to think that we're only talking about three of the names when there's been another, like so many other phenomenal players in the defensive history here.
Well,
like,
even
Cavalier
this,
and Harley.
Even this year, Corlett has 8 goals, but as a defensive core,
yes,
14 goals, 41 points from this defense.
That's crazy.
Yes.
14 of our goals, 41 points from our defense so far. That's insane. It's really. It's kind of just the passing of the torch, I guess, if you will, because I guarantee, like, look at the statistics and just overall the play style of Kirsten Welsh and Emily Corlett. They're very similar.
Yes.
They take a lot of penalties. They score a lot of power play goals. They score a lot of goals. And they're just solid puck-moving defenders.
They are. And you want to say the greatest thing?
Yeah.
We have another year of Emily Corlett.
Yeah, we have another year and a half of Emily Corlett. It's crazy. Yeah.
So do you think she'll pass Legu?
For what?
Points.
How many points? 68 points
for
Corlett right
now. She's 22 behind.
Yeah, she's going to pass. She's gonna lead defensive stats. She's already leading in goals. She's already leading in power play goals.
And game winners.
Yeah, and game winners. She's definitely going to. And this is an 87 games played. Maggie Legu has 135 games played. She has the most points and assists. Kirsten Welsh has 122 games played. She has the most. She has 88 points, which second most points.
Yes.
So, yeah, 20 points behind second. She's going to make it there. But, of course, the first person to make it there in terms of overall point statistics is J.C. Gephardt. She's 3 away from Brittany Howard.
I mean, you never know. Corlett could have, like, 30 points next.
Oh, yeah, you never know.
It's unlikely, but.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Gephardt, what's our next show?
Oh, yeah. Our next show is what I really just a J.C. Gephardt-centered episode, really, is what I have planned, is that we're going to just look at her overall history and career, because there's no doubt that she's going to score.
3 points.
3 points, hopefully, this weekend. If not, she'll be 1 away or 2 away. And I don't mean to jinx her at all. Well, we're going to get a guest on here soon.
We might
have to reschedule to do that.
Yeah,
but
I think
we'll definitely keep you guys updated.
I think we'll try and do that after the break, just so we have one more. Next week's our last show of the semester, right? Or not semester, but
before Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's crazy. We're moving by fast here in the semester and in this hockey season. We're week what in hockey season? 6
weeks.
This is our 7th series or something like that.
Because we're 6-5-1, so 12 games played. This is
so
our
7. This will be our 7th series. Well. And we have 2 bye weeks, so this will be our 9th weekend.
Yes.
Okay. So, RMU overall, just a solid team as well. But we got some milestones here to look forward to. We'll keep you guys updated on that. Be sure to follow us on Century Media and check in with RMUCenturyMedia.com. Yes, and we'll see you guys next week. Thank you for tuning in. Goodbye.